and welcome to Life in the Rabbit Hole, the Kaneo Parent Pod. I'm Lori Carice, a fellow parent living in the Kaneo Valley, and your host. Thank you for tuning in. For parent pod tales, community matters, and social topics, which include plenty of wellness content. Parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's as difficult as much as it's rewarding, and we've all heard from the beginning of this journey, it takes a village. So join us as we connect through Life in the Rabbit Hole. For everyone, everywhere. This episode is brought to you by Logix Federal Credit Union.
Seems like you can't change the channel these days without another celebrity pitching you a credit card, mortgage company, or big bank. We don't have any celebrities talking about us, but we do have stars. Thousands of them. From our fans on Yelp, Google, and Facebook. And we didn't have to pay them millions of dollars. We just had to provide better rates and terrific service over and over and over again. So while celebrities think you should try one more mega bank, we encourage you to listen to the stars that matter. They're just a search away. Logix. Smarter banking.
Logix Smarter Banking is a registered trademark of Logix Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. Logix is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 503781. Logix membership required.
Welcome to another episode of Life in the Rabbit Hole. Today, we have a representative joining us from James Storehouse, located in Newberry Park, Executive Director Stacy DeWitt. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you.
I'm so glad you could be here, and I can't wait to hear more about James Storehouse. So tell us, who are you and what is your mission?
Yeah, well, like you mentioned, my name is Stacy, and I'm executive director and founder of James Storehouse. And our mission is from cribs to college, we serve kids in foster care. So we have this unbelievable privilege of caring for our community's most vulnerable children. And so over the years, about 8 years I've been doing this, we have grown from making some deliveries out of the backs of our cars, finding out that there are foster youth in need of a crib, or maybe an older youth that needed furniture to set up her first apartment. So over the years, we've moved from just making those deliveries out of our cars, stacking those things so we couldn't see out of the back, to now we have a beautiful resource center in Newberry Park off of Old Conejo Road, where we have 3 free boutiques that the foster community can come in and shop for free. We have a warehouse in the back. So we are able to utilize the social capital in our community as well as the beautiful resources that we have. Everybody has so many nice things. So we get to just re-give these things to children in need.
Great. Now, you just mentioned the teens. Do you ever put them to work in the stores?
Yes, we do. We love to have volunteers. So we do have some of the aged out youth that come and volunteer with us. And it can be really a part of their healing process to be able to give back to children that have experienced some of the same things that they have experienced. We also work with the county's work experience program, which we give the older youth front office or warehouse work experience so that they can work in a trauma-informed environment, meaning that we understand what happens to the brain when a child or a youth has experienced trauma, abuse, neglect, or severe poverty. We understand what happens to the brain, and we're able to work with them in an environment that is full of grace, full of love, and so that when they have this work experience, then they can have new skills to go out to have maybe one of their first jobs.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you don't actually house these families or help place the children. How do you actually stay in touch with these different families, or how are you introduced in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. So I'll back up a little bit and tell how we got started, and then I'll answer that question. So about 9 years ago, we got a call from a police officer to just out of the blue to come pick up a 3-year-old who was at the Palm Garden Hotel in Newberry Park. So I dropped everything and drove over there, and underneath the carport a police officer was standing with this sweet little girl, and she just had on a wet diaper and she had an empty sippy cup, and those were all of her belongings. And so I wrapped her up in a blanket and put her in a car seat and brought her home, and, you know, tried to get her acclimated with our home in our neighborhood. And then I needed to make a plan because I didn't have a diaper for the next diaper change. I didn't have a bed. I didn't have clothes. I didn't have toddler food, anything. And so in that process of receiving a child with no belongings and finding out through the county social workers that there are hundreds of other families willing to take in children if they have a little support, because it's incredibly expensive to start from scratch, and then you don't know how long this child might be with you. So what if there was some sort of support for families that are willing to take in children? And so the idea came to us, you know what? What if we had a warehouse where the community would donate their things, their really nice things that they don't need anymore, and it would go to these children to support their placements, or would go to these grandmas who are taking in 4 and 5 grandchildren and they're on a fixed income, or these nice things would be going to the aged out youth who have no families, who are trying to transition to independence. What if we did something like that? What would it take? And so we just gathered with our friends and our family, and we decided that if we could raise like about $100,000, we could launch a warehouse and some offices locally. And then that would give us maybe like 2 years to see if we could build a donor base. So we would have everything paid for, and let's see if this could be self-sustaining in 2 years. And as it turned out, the community was all about this, because our community especially cares for kids. I feel like everybody is like, if there's a child in need or a teen in need, like, what can I do to help? And it's true. And so we have actually a contract with the Department of Child and Family Services in Ventura County. They send us their confidential cases of these children needing to be placed, but there's a gap in the system, and this is where we come in. They can't place that child into a safe and loving home unless the home already has certain things, like there has to be a bed waiting for a child. It can't be a shared bed. If it's a newborn baby, it can't be a bassinet. It has to be a crib. If it's a bed for a child, it has to be up off the ground. There has to be a refrigerator with food, table and chairs. There's a list of things that must be in the home. And so these social workers are finding these homes, but seeing there's a lack of resources. And so that's where we come in. So they send us the confidential cases. We take a look at it. We go to our warehouse, we call the family or the youth and say, would you like to come in and receive these things? And if they don't have transportation, because sometimes grandmas, great grandmas, don't have a big enough car to come pick up 3 and 4 bunk beds, we can deliver to them. So it's this beautiful symbiotic relationship we have between the county and our community, and we're able to meet the needs to expedite these cases. If the kids don't have the resources, the child has to stay with a social worker. And it can be very traumatic for the children because they're scared. They don't want to sleep in an office. They need to be in a bed. They need to have warm jammies. They need to have someone making them dinner and doing their homework with them. So we're able to lower the rate of PTSD in these children and show them that they matter through our warehouse and offices and resource center.
Wonderful. Now, is there a cost to these families? Perhaps it offsets some of your own costs?
Good question. No, everything that we give out, all the in-kind donations are for free. So it's, we raise money through, we write grants. Individuals in the communities will give monthly donations or one-time gifts, foundations, churches, businesses. So we work with everybody to help our communities most vulnerable for the kids.
What are some of your top needs?
Some of our top needs. Good question. So we have on our website, so I'll just tell you, our website address is jamesstorehouse.org. And we have an Amazon registry at the very top. You can click on that and you can see some of our needs that we need every day, our most urgent needs. And that would look like, so if a listener doesn't have access to a phone or a laptop at the moment, that things that they will see would be bunk beds, twin bed frames, mattresses, car seats. A child can't be received into a home unless there is a car seat, clothing, diapers. And we also have some things that help set up apartments for youth, like glasses, dishes, pots and pans, things like that. Also, we help reunifying families. So for example, if a mom has finished or mom or dad has finished her drug rehab and she's about to receive her four kids back and it is super stressful, can be super triggering to have all that stress all of a sudden, we will go in and set up apartments for these families to get them stabilized. So you will see on our Amazon registry, there are some things like home setups, like kitchen setups, bedroom, bathroom setups, things like that. So those are our emergency needs that we need all the time.
Now, when it comes to car seats and cribs, it's been a long time for me. My kids are far out of those stages. There was a lot of problems with recalls. So you can resell those items. Do you take donations of used car seats and cribs and then go through the recall list, or do you require new for those items?
We prefer new items, but we do use gently used items and we go through the recall list. And if someone gives us a car seat that has been just gently used and it's still within date and not recalled, never been in an accident, and then we just have them fill out a little bit of paperwork about the history so that the person who receives the car seat will know the history of the car seat and know what condition the car seat is in, if it's been used. But our favorite is when our donors are able to give us monetary donations so that we can provide new items for the children.
And more about community involvement. I noticed that on your website, you had a backpack program where you put together supplies and you had the backpacks and obviously distributed those. Now, back to school looked a little different this year with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this something that you put together year round or is it seasonal? What did it look like for you this year and what does it typically look like?
Oh, okay. For the back to school event, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So we've been doing this, I think this was our sixth year, and it grows every year. So the more resources we have, the more children we can help. So we help children who are kindergarten age, heading into kindergarten, all the way through college. So the population that we're helping are children in foster care, children who have been trafficked. So there are quite a few in our community, which makes me so sad that that's a reality. But we have a lot of children and youth that have been trafficked. So they're part of our back to school event. And then at-risk families, prevention is really important to us. We are putting a lot of time into helping children who have been removed from their homes. But we're like, hey, what could we do to prevent children from being removed and placed into foster care? So it usually takes just basic resources for these families. So they're also included in our back to school event. So last year, we held our event, thanks to a donor, at Las Palmas in Moor Park. And we had an event where about 500 youth got to come and they picked out brand new school clothing or gently used accessories to go with school because honestly, they just want to look like their friends. They just want to fit in and they deserve that. And a lot of the kids will run away and drop out of school just because they feel different and we can do better for them. So that's part of why we do this event. So they go in, they get a shopping bag or two, they get a wristband so we know who are registered guests, and they can go pick out two outfits. They get to pick out a brand new pair of really nice shoes like Converse, Nike, just top of the line shoes, just like Vans, just like their friends. Then they get to go to the backpack section and they pick out a JanSport, usually backpack, a really nice, like just like their friends, a designer backpack. Then they go through the whole back to school section with the school supplies and they get to fill their backpack. They get to choose They aren't given these things. They get to choose for themselves what colors they want, because that matters. And then through a donor, this was so fun last year. They got to go have In-N-Out. We had the In-N-Out truck. So they got to have a really nice lunch. There was a Mr. Softy truck. They got to get an ice cream. And then we usually have like a few other stations with like games. There's really fun music, just so that it's a chance for them to feel like they're honored, that school matters, and that their needs are going to be taken care of. So that pre-COVID, that's how we did it. Now this year, we had to do things differently. We had to be innovative, because we know that there are even more kids than ever who are at risk and need to be equipped for school. So we decided to do a drive-through event. And we had a total of 800 people come through. We did 30-minute slots, and they drove through, and we made it an experience. So we had Disney characters come out, and they got to wave to the kids and dance to the music and entertain them. There was a bubble machine and music. We had cheerleaders, a magician, volunteers holding signs saying, "You are loved, and this is going to be a great school year," because we know that they were feeling a lot of anxiety, not knowing what this particular school year was going to look like. And then they drove through and they stopped at the backpack section, and volunteers would hold up stuffed backpacks. This year we had to do it that way. They could choose their backpack. Some of the kids had like Spider-Man hold up the backpack or Darth Vader. And it was just really fun for them. Then they drove to the next section. They got to tell the volunteers what size shoe and what type of shoe they wanted. So we had donors donating all those brand name shoes. They just told them their size. They brought them to the car, tried them on, made sure they fit. And then they drove through to the next section, got some goodies, and then got to get an ice cream on the way out, delivered right to their car. So it was pretty magical. The kids were in awe of seeing the Disney characters and the superheroes. And we had a couple families drive through twice, because not to get more things, but just to experience it. It's hard when very many places to go, and just was something fun to do at the same time. So we gave out on that day over $100,000 worth of goods for the kids in our community. And that all came from donors in the community. We didn't need to purchase anything. So it was quite miraculous.
I commend you on still putting something wonderful together for kids this year. I mean, so many experiences are lost due to COVID-19, and, back to school is so special for so many kids, because, I mean, it's just like a ritual or routine, whether it's back to school shopping, picking out your backpack, registering for school, meeting your teacher for the first time. I mean, the experience is so special. I do a lot of family events, and I have always had back to school events and have passed out hundreds and hundreds of complimentary backpacks over the years myself. Mm-hmm. And it you were talking about how the kids get to select. That's also very important, because I think it's empowering kids. Mm-hmm. You're empowering the children to let them select something that, fits with their personality, and then fill it and get excited about school. So, you touched on how it was important for the kids to make those selections. I really connect with you on that, because it is very empowering for kids.
Yes, and especially so many things have happened to them where they feel powerless, whether through abuse or neglect, but to be able to choose their own items. And that also happens inside of our resource center when they come for them. They get to choose what they want. It's part of the healing process, so that they know that they matter and their decisions are important for themselves.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the fun things about this back to school event and the events we have all year long, it's really important for the community to see the kids, because we can never show children in foster care their faces. It's foster care law for their privacy and protection. So we will cover their faces with photographs, but to be a part of an event, you get to see these wonderful children. These are children in our community that you would see at the grocery store, that you would see at the parks, and you might not know what they've been through, but to come to an event and get to serve them and love them and see that this is really happening in our community, we can make a difference. And I love our events because they're family friendly And so myself as a mom, I want to teach my kids to help other people, to be a good community member. I want to teach my kids that, like, not everybody gets a new backpack every year. Not everybody gets four new pairs of shoes. You know, teach my kids the value and the privilege that they have. And part of that is teaching them through what we do at James Storehouse, volunteering. I want my kids to volunteer. They volunteer so that they can know that there's something bigger than themselves out there, that being part of loving and serving your community gives you purpose. And also teaches my kids that, I don't want them to be spoiled. I want them to know that they're hurting people and we can do something about it. So if there are families out there that are looking for ways for their kids to get involved in helping in the community, this is a great way. So they can sometimes help even their own age. Like if they're 6 or 7 years old, they can still serve 6 and 7 year olds in the community that are hurting children. And just a great tool to use for a family who's looking to show their kids something bigger.
Thank you. I will make the commitment right now that I will bring my girls out and we'll do some volunteer work for you. Do you have a specific age requirement for your volunteers?
Each event is different. So we'll always put that out when we're asking for volunteers. But during the week, if there are families that have flexibility, we are working at our resource center Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 9 to 3. And it's been easier, I think, for some families who are, you know, doing the distance learning or homeschooling, like pretty much everybody is doing that at the moment, but soon there'll be a shift, but people have a little bit more time. So we're able to have more volunteers come in. So moms and their kids will come in and they'll sort donations for us. They'll write thank you notes for us. They'll help us organize toys and books, just depending on their age and what they might be interested in. Sometimes helping gathering the items for the shoppers to come pick up. There's really, you know, we've had a few moms with pre-COVID, we had some of the mom groups like Moms of Caneo Valley come, Moms of Moore Park come, and they come with their little ones and they have played in the playroom while the moms in the adjoining room with a window and a door so they can just peek at their kids. But they're sorting and helping us. And so there's a place for everybody.
Wonderful. I actually did have my girls get involved during Woolsey fires. We were actually quite affected by Woolsey fires. The flame came about 3 feet away from our door. And because of that, we were out for quite a while due to some major smoke damage. And my youngest daughter at the time has now grown out of it, had asthma. Oh. So we were out of our home for about 28 days. So we actually received a lot of community support because there was a time I didn't know if we were going to have to move, lose everything inside. It took about 2 weeks before I knew we were going to be able to return home. So at the time, you know, we did visit some centers and did gain some support and help. And it's going to make me cry. Because we were recipients, I also wanted to give back. So yes. My daughters would go with me. I'm like, we're going to spend, you know, 30, 45 minutes, an hour helping and do some sorting. I wanted them to also experience that. So I appreciate so much what you're doing. And yes, I want my girls to definitely be involved and understand. It's important for so many families to pass that along. And you know, especially right now with COVID-19, there's a lot of fortunate families that are going to get through this a lot easier than others. Yeah. There's a lot of very unfortunate families, you know, because of possible permanent job loss.
Yeah.
Illness in the family, or maybe they're a caregiver and they can't go back to work. There's so many different circumstances. So it's also a nice refresher to take your mind off of your problems. You know, Our daily problem right now is COVID, COVID, COVID. It's like every single day, every waking moment, it's kind of, you know, thinking about that. It'd be so nice to actually go shift care and need, you know, in supporting someone like you, and that's community also.
Yeah.
And you know, you were just speaking about how you can't share photos, and it was nice to see those children that you support in person, it automatically made me think of a photo that you have actually on your website where you did a visit with some of the children, some of the girls, to the American Girls store. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, that is one of my favorite events every year. And it's so special. So I'll start at the beginning. So a few years ago, lady that I know, she was selling her dance studio. And she and her dance studio, she over the years had collected probably at that point, maybe 45 beautiful American Girl dolls. And so all the little girls who took dance would admire the dolls, and they were in beautiful condition. And she said, I would like to give you these dolls for girls in foster care. And so I said, okay, great. You just let me know. And I'd love to receive those dolls. And I came home one day and I had all of those dolls on my front porch. And I thought, I've got to do something special with these. These are gorgeous. And I know that when little girls come into foster care, they come with no belongings. So to have a special doll that's just yours, you know, a little girl who can you can tell your worries to, that you can tuck under your arm and go to bed with this little doll. Like, dolls can be really special for little girls or little boys. And so I thought, what could I do? And then the idea came, like, what if we had this dream day for little girls in foster care? Of course, if a little boy wanted to come, they'd be welcome. It just happens to be, you know, a kind of a girly event, but we would never discriminate, of course. But so the idea is, and this is what we do every year, is the girls get to now pick out a doll for their own. And we go down to the American Girl store and cafe at the Grove. And we always do it. And we happen to do it in November. And so it's usually already decorated for Christmas. So it's super magical anyways. And so we get down there. The girls pick out a doll. If you've ever been there, you know that you can borrow a doll and have lunch with a doll. But these girls need to have their own doll to take home. And so they will go with either their foster mom, or if they're placed with a relative, or if they don't have someone to take them, a volunteer will look after them for the event, which is super fun too. And then the cafe gives us the private balcony, which is so nice because some of the girls, because of their trauma, can have sensory integration disorder. So like the noise in the restaurant might be really stressful for them. So it's nice to have the private balcony. And then they get to pick out whatever they want for lunch. It's like a 3-course meal. Sometimes there'll be community members who have dress shops or like accessory shops, and they will come and set things out on the balcony for the girls to choose for themselves. Last year, we had someone who loves to sew. And she sewed a special dress for every single doll. So the girls got to have their doll. They got to have an extra special dress. Community members will donate like the books and the accessories, so the girls can pick those out. And then over the years, we've developed a sweet friendship with the manager at the American Girl Doll store. And they'll put together goodie bags for the girls to take home. And then we get to bring them downstairs after lunch, and they get to choose if they want to get their doll's ears pierced or if they want to get their doll's fingernails polished. And then we usually take them out for a cupcake at Sprinkles afterwards, walk down the street. And it is so special. We had, I cannot walk through there and not have, I have to fight back tears because the girls are so happy. It is so good for them to just get to experience what most little girls get to experience. Most little girls get to have a special lunch with a mom or grandma or auntie. These little girls have not experienced these things. And I had one little girl last year. She walked in and she stood there and she saw all the dolls and all the little tea sets. And just, it's really special, especially at Christmas time. And she just cried because she was so happy to be in that environment, and just it blew her mind that there could be this store that just have all these cute dolls. And So it's just special. We want the little girls, each one has been through so much trauma, more than you can ever imagine, and to gift them a special day, thanks to donors, to show them that they're loved, that they matter, that they get to have a piece of their childhood that maybe was stolen from them. They get to be a little girl and forget about all the things that have happened to them and just have hope and just be happy.
I love American Girl. I mean, I have taken my girls there, and it's been actually a special birthday spot for us for a few years.
Oh, cool.
My girls are getting a little older now, 12 and 9, almost 10. So they're outgrowing some of it, even though they say, you know, it's ages like, what, 8 to 13, I think. Uh-huh. We were more into it, you know, at 5, 6, 7 years old. Uh-huh. But I think that's because of the cost of the doll that they try to put a higher, you know, age group on there. But it is a magical place. And I love that store because you can really actually spend hours there.
Yeah.
Especially if you eat at the cafe and just have like a full day experience. So that is very special that of what you're doing for your children, your families, because that, yeah, I mean, some of the girls, I'm sure they pick out the dolls like me, or they do the different historic dolls. It's also an educational experience.
Yeah.
Because you can read about all the different dolls and the influences. So it really is amazing. And by the way, when we come and volunteer, I have a bag full of books, of American Girl books also, that we will bring. Because we've read them already. So I have actually a whole bag, and we'll bring those out. We'll make an appointment very soon.
Thank you. It's always so fun. Like, one of my favorite parts is to see what dolls they choose. Sometimes the girls choose the dolls that look exactly like them, and sometimes they choose the dolls that are exactly opposite of their nationality and hair color. And it's just so fun to see like what their little personalities find beautiful. And just, it's the best.
Oh, that's a great experience. Well, the holidays are coming again. So I'm assuming you don't have a visit plan this year. I don't even know if the store is fully operational. What are your plans this holiday with the kids? Are you going to do something virtually?
So this particular event we're just having on hold. We've been talking to them, and the manager would love to have us come, and they would set something special up, but they just can't do it because of COVID. So we'll just put it on pause, and we're ready as soon as they're ready to go. We'd love to do it. Virtual is just not the same. We're all tired of virtual. We just want real life experiences.
They're calling it COVID fatigue. People are just like going out and kind of not caring anymore. I mean, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I try to hold myself back.
So, yeah, me too. Me too.
Considering COVID, what are the volunteer experiences like right now?
Yeah, so we have in-person experiences for people who are comfortable with that. Are an essential business for the county, so we have to make sure we stay open. So we're wearing masks. We have our volunteers wearing masks. We have a lot of volunteers who are older, so they have to be really careful. And we have some volunteers who actually are going through chemo treatments. So we just want to be really careful for our neighbors, make sure everybody's safe. So we have masks. So we have in-person just with a mask. And then we have volunteer opportunities that are at home. And you can bring things like, for example, for Thanksgiving is coming up. So we have Thanksgiving baskets that families or individuals or businesses can put together. We have a list of non-perishable items and that would create a Thanksgiving dinner for a family. Everything goes into a recyclable grocery bag. And then that grocery bag goes on top of a roasting pan for a turkey. And then we just ask that they include a gift card for like $10 or $15 so that the family can purchase a turkey. So everything's non-perishable. So we're able to keep a lot of those in our resource centers. So social workers and family members and youth can come pick them up. So that is one thing. So you can get the list online on our website or on Facebook or on Instagram of those items. And then you can assemble them at your home, bring them to us. So that's for Thanksgiving. And then for Christmas, if people are interested in helping, you can do a toy drive, or you can go with your family and have your kids pick out a toy or two. you can just drop it off to us during our business hours. One thing we would love to do if people want to do this is if people are bringing a toy they'd like to drop off, an unwrapped new toy for any age, or a gift card for a teenager, we'd like to use our Polaroid camera and take a picture of them. And then we want to hole punch it and then put a little string and then hang it on a Christmas tree at James Storehouse, so that when the youth or the families come to receive the gifts, they can see that this community loves them so much. And these are the people who provided the gifts. So even though there aren't very many in-person experiences right now, that we're trying to do our best to bridge that gap so that they can see that there are people, real people, behind all of this love for them. So that's a way to get involved at Christmas time. And after that, in the spring, we usually have our Beautiful You event. And that is another like premier event that I love so much. So if everything is okay with the virus, we will go along with our usual plans. And that is this event. It is for teen girls who are in foster care who would like to go to prom. So we have beautiful gowns the community donates, because you usually wear your prom gown one time. And so we have these gorgeous gowns. And then we also have really nice career wear for the older youth who are aging out, or the trafficked youth that are working on housing, that are working on transportation, that are working on school, or obviously a job. So, and then we have different stations that they can visit during their time. It's this whole experience. So volunteers will take them through all of the stations. They get their hair done, they can get their nails done. There's food, there's music, there's shoulder and neck massages. There are flash tattoos. So it's just this whole day of beauty and inspiration, just pouring into our vulnerable youth to say, like, we see you, you matter, you can do this, we believe in you. Because often it just takes one person to see you, to say, you can do this, that you can help somebody launch to the next season of their life. So another thing that we have, two new stations that we're going to have for this event, is one is a life skill station. So every year we try to add one more. So this is going to be sewing, like mending things, like how to sew on a button or how to mend your socks. So we have some ladies in the community who have offered, hopefully they'll still be willing, to sit down and in a little station, the girls can come when they're ready to learn. Because life skills, like unless you grow up in a proper family, you don't know how to sew on a button. You might not know how to mend your socks. Just simple things that you learn in a family that you wouldn't if you go from home to home to home. So there'll be that little station so they can learn that skill. There's also a job interview station. So they can practice filling out an application and practice interviewing. Like, what do? You have to look someone in the eye. You learn to shake their hand. You learn how to sit, how to dress. We have the clothing there for them to take home with them. So it's this this morning of just pampering and pouring into the girls to help them feel seen and loved.
Wonderful. So before we wrap up, the holidays are coming. You did mention what your needs are. How about deadlines, or how soon are you pulling these items together so that you can meet your goals, especially with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up?
Yeah. So for Thanksgiving, baskets can be dropped off to James Storehouse November 3rd through 13th. That will give us time to get them out to everybody. Last year, we were able to give out, it was food for about 1,500 people, which was super cool. Everything was brought in by, you know, families, businesses, churches. And so that is November 3rd through 13th. Our toy drive, we're expecting 1,000 children needing gifts this year. So our toy drive is December 1st through 11th. And that will give us time to see what we have. And if we need to really put out an all points bulletin to the community to say that we need gifts, but hopefully they'll come in the 1st through the 11th of December. But we're always needing volunteers every week. If anybody wants to get involved, they're always able to bring their kids if they'd like to make it an experience teaching their kids as well. They can reach out to me by email anytime. It's jamesstorehouse@gmail.com. And just ask for Stacy, and I'll let them know volunteer opportunities, and we'd love to have them.
Wonderful. Well, Stacy, thank you so much for joining me today. And I really hope that our listeners now are aware of your services and your location if they hadn't already heard from you or of you, that is. And I hope that as COVID continues and we do all this spring cleaning for a year, that everybody will remember you. And we'll continue to find opportunities to support you. So I just want to thank you very much. And again, your website is jamesstorehouse.org.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for listening today. And please subscribe to our podcast so that you can be alerted each time we drop a new episode. For bonus content, be sure to join us as a member and receive Green Room Diaries, After the Final Cut, Confessions of a Kaneo Valley Mom, as well as our exclusive wellness workshops. From one parent to another, we've got this. Just believe in yourself and remember, we're our own worst critics. Tell yourself and another that they're doing a good job.